You're in a two car. Yes, so here we are, devotees and friends, and our professional harmonium player is meant to be here, but he's not. So what to do? Do we have a live mridanga? Cartels. Okay, not today. Let's have just a couple of minutes little kirtan, just to get me off the mental platform. But you know what? You know what? We want you to ask some questions. Yes, so where is the questions sheet? There it is, and the pen. Please ask questions, because you know what? They told me that the devotees here at the festival are very intelligent. That's what they said. Very thoughtful and very interested in what is Krishna consciousness and how it works and all that. And therefore they have many questions. And look, we have one gentleman here. Thank you. Getting the ball rolling. But let's have just a little kirtan for a few minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Gora Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. All glories to the disciple devotees, all glories to the disciple devotees, all glories to the disciple devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. All of you, okay? Upload sub K. Do you understand, Hindi? So, Hare Krishna, welcome one and all. How just wonderful, wonderful to be here with you. And we hope you're happy in the Rath Yatra Festival 2019. Are you happy?
Okay.
Good, me too, basically. I've had a few moments, but yeah, basically very happy. Right, devotees and friends, while you're all writing your intelligent questions, no, seriously, because you are, aren't you? You're writing a question, yeah? Carry on. Yeah, we want some questions. I'm giving you 10 minutes, all right, to start off with. I'll say a few words about pastimes of Lord Jagannath for a few minutes, then we'll take some questions. So here we go. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shivani Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarani Nira Vishesha Shivani Bhastu Chari Shitarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanichananda Shri Advaiti Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchika Patrulyastakripa, Sindhubhyaya. Paridhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Well, actually, this morning, if you were there when just before we began the actual procession, right in the beginning there, we did explain at least part, you could say, of the background of this Rath Yatra festival. If you were there, I hope you would remember that. How Krishna was in Vrindavan, left Vrindavan. All the bridge buses were thrown into a bottomless ocean of separation. They met again in Kurukshetra quite some years later. And it was a very deep reunion, very deep. And Srila Prabhupada, in his characteristically very conservative way, says that when Lord Krishna and the devotees of Vrindavan were reunited there in Kurukshetra, when they just first met again after all those years, Srila Prabhupada says it was a very touching scene. This translates in normal speak to it was just way beyond the most emotional thing we can begin to imagine, actually. Another dimension, at the very least. Prabhupada's very deep transcendental personality. But let me just throw a little different light. Not to contradict at all, it's part of the same story, but we just told it very, very briefly indeed this morning, that when Lord Krishna and the bridge buses, and particularly the gopis, and most particularly Srimati Radharani, met again there in Kurukshetra, what Prabhupada called a very touching scene was just so sort of extra dimensional that Krishna's queens from Dwarka, with whom he had been living for the last quite some number of years, I mean really quite some decades actually, they were astonished. They'd never seen relationships like this. Even their own, and they're his wives, and their relationships are very deep indeed, but not like that. Not like that at all. So they were wondering, what was it like in Vrindavan when Krishna was there? What was it like? What were the exchanges, the interactions? What were the relationships like? What were the pastimes in those relationships like? They really wanted to understand, because their minds, they were just too astonished. So, but now, how to find out? They understood, well, we need to speak to someone who was there and who witnessed it. Otherwise, you know, if it's just someone who heard about it, it's not the same thing at all. The popular grapevine. Anyway, let's not get into that. But they didn't want to just hear from someone who had heard. They wanted to speak with someone who had been there. And someone they knew, someone they could approach and, you know, yeah, someone they had a connection with. So, who could that be? Well, devotees and friends, I don't know how familiar you are with all these, the details of the pastimes and what happened, but they then remembered that Rohini, the mother of Lord Balaram, who was actually one of the wives of Vasudev, who was living there in Dwarka. They're the queens of Dwarka. Rohini is living there in Dwarka as one of the wives of Vasudev. The main wife was Devaki, but there were others, and Rohini was one of the others, and they knew her. When Vasudev and Devaki had been locked up in prison by Kamsa, then Vasudev arranged, or it was arranged, that his other wives would go and live with other relatives and close people. And so Rohini, one of his wives, went to live in Vrindavan under the care of Nanda Maharaj, who was the king of the cowherds, and Mother Yashoda. So she had been there. She saw it all. Everything she witnessed. But when Krishna left Vrindavan, went to Mathura, killed Kamsa, and then moved back and stayed in Mathura and didn't come back to Vrindavan, Rohini returned also. Rohini returned and then was living again with her husband Vasudev. So the queens thought, yes, that's it, that's the answer. Rohini, we know her, we can talk to her openly, we're connected, and if we ask, she'll explain. So they approached Rohini, and sure enough, she said, yes, sure, let me explain. It was just incredible. But Rohini said, there is a problem. If Krishna hears my descriptions of what happened in Vrindavan, then he will be reminded what it was like in Vrindavan, and he will then want to go back, and we'll lose him. Because he was living in Dwarka there. They're all living in Dwarka. We'll lose him. If he goes to Vrindavan again, he won't come back, because it's just so incredible there. He'll forget about us. So I can tell you, but we have to do it. I have to do it secretly. We must find some secret place out the back somewhere in the forest, something like that, where Krishna will not find us and will not hear about the Vrindavan pastimes and become attracted to go back. So they found some spot somewhere back out of the way a little bit, not too far, but a little bit out of the way. And there they are now, the queens of Dwarka, 16,108, sitting around, sort of in a semicircle, in front of Rohini, and she's explaining the pastimes. So yes, it was going on. She's explaining the pastimes, and all the queens are just like, wow, really? It was like that? Oh. But meanwhile, as they say, meanwhile, back at the camp, Krishna started wondering, where are my wives? Where have they gone? They've disappeared. You know, I need their help, as every good husband needs. I will be lost without my wives. Where have they gone? So Krishna searched, and he moved around and looked here and there. And sure enough, he spotted them, because they weren't that far away. Sort of just around the corner somewhere. And then, but Krishna thought, now what are they doing there with Rohini speaking to them? And they seem to be very deeply engrossed. What is going on here? Otherwise Krishna would have just walked in and said, hey, what's happening? But he didn't want to do that, because he could tell something super confidential was going on. So Krishna snuck up quietly behind and tuned in and listened in. And sure enough, he heard these amazing pastimes of his from Vrindavan. This pastime, that pastime, and it's all building up. And Krishna's just losing it in ecstasy. And suddenly, Rohini started describing the rasa dance. And when she did that, because that's the supreme of all pastimes, Krishna lost it totally, out the window, gone. And he transformed into the form of Jagannath. Jagannath means Dwarika Krishna in the ecstasy of Vrindavan, or of being connected with Vrindavan. It's just like, wow, Vrindavan. There he has big round eyes, big smile, literally from ear to ear. And even his limbs, his legs retract completely, totally. And his arms are partially retracted, something like this. This is Jagannath. Krishna, Dwarika Krishna, in the ecstasy of Vrindavan, or remembering Vrindavan. Meanwhile, back at the camp again, Balaram was wondering, where has my brother gone? Krishna, you know, whenever he sneaks away, there's usually something super cool happening. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. I got to find him. So he also went on a bit of a mission, and he found him. And there's Krishna as Jagannath. And there, you know, Rohini and the queens, they don't know about this yet, how Krishna is. But there's Rohini and the queens just like, oh, totally overwhelmed. And Balaram thought, wow, something is just really going on here. So he tuned in secretly. And he heard some of his pastimes. How he killed Dainikasura. And he thought, yeah, that was great. Smash the demons. And something else, how he killed Pralambasura. Oh, got him a good one. And then some other things that he did, like how he had his rasa dance. And when he heard that, Balaram lost control totally. And entered into that same physical condition. Then Subhadra, the sister, she was wondering, where have my brothers gone? And the queens, where have they gone? And where's Rohini? Something is happening. Something's happening here, but you don't know what it is. That's a famous song from a line from a song from my youth. Anyway, so she also went searching, and sure enough, there were her brothers, and this whole thing's going on in the discussion. And and she tuned in, and she also, same thing happened, except not just her limbs, her legs retracted, but her arms completely retracted. And this is, they say, sort of the first time those forms of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, as we see them in the Ratha Yatra, the first time they were manifested. Sri Jagannath Ratha Yatra Mahotsava came. Now, devotees, you know, Bhakti Michaela, you could give me the top sheet and write on the next sheet. Or if you, something like that. Is that okay? But don't, oh, look at that. Economizing on paper. Oh well, yeah. There are other stories. We could tell you other stories. You got your question there as you want it? Okay. We don't want to harass you. Just give me the sheet. And keep passing it around. Maybe some other ideas will be stimulated in your Krishna conscious minds. Thank you very much. Let's put my glasses on. So here we go. Why is Lord Jagannath referred to as the Lord of the universe? Is there a pastime surrounding this? What an intelligent question. Okay. Well, you know, Krishna, you know, to be frank, there is no specific pastime surrounding this. And we have been asked this very question before. Why Jagannath? For this particular form specifically, why not some other name like Purinath or something other? But, you know, still it's a fact. Jagannath, Jagan, because it's actually Jagannath. It's not Jagannath. And it's not Jagannath, it's Jagannath. And Jagan means this world. He is the Lord of this world. So, you know, it's arguable, you can always say that Lord Krishna, any form of Lord Krishna is Jagannath, and it can't be wrong. It's true, it can't really be wrong. It's definitely true. But Jagannath, you see that place, the place where Jagannath lives, it is one of the places which is described as being sort of like the hub or the center of the universe. You know, others say it's at Naimisharanya. Yes. But it's also said that Puri is like the hub of the universe and everything is turning around it. It's like the focal point of the universe. And actually, for that matter, it's definitely a fact that... Anyway, no, that's another point. But yes, the Jagannath Puri is very special sacred place. In certain respects, it's even more special than any other place. In certain respects. For example, if or when you lie down to sleep in Jagannath Puri, you get the same, it is considered non-different from, and you get the same benefit as when you are offering dandavats on the ground, prostrated obeisances. Yes. Any talk there, even if it's just, how are you? The standard question. How are you? No, if you're interested, actually, how am I? Well, okay, I'd have to think about that, because I'm sort of in different parts of the in different ways. But Prabhupada was, one reporter asked Prabhupada, how are you? And Prabhupada said, what does it matter to you how I am? If I'm good or bad, what difference does it make to you, Prabhupada? Because you can see, it's just, you know, formality, it's autopilot. Just autopilot, how are you? And you know, there's an interesting phenomenon in South Africa. Don't mind me saying this. Do you mind me saying this? All right, better not. Because it's interesting. A little difference between South Africa and other parts of the world, or even the English-speaking world, there is an expectation. When people ask you how you are, that you are, there's an expectation that you will, you know, you'll give, you'll normally say, fine. Standard answer. But then there's an expectation that you will ask them how they are. And so many times I've had the experience of someone asking how I am, and I say okay or something, and I don't ask them how they are, and they say fine, thanks. I'm serious. I'm completely serious. It has happened numerous times. Autopilot, that's what it is. Alright, anyway, so much for that. But in Jagannath Puri, even casual conversation, how are you? In Russia, we have our Russian here, but I read in one of my textbooks, because I am a student of the Russian language, that if someone cannot think of anything to talk to you about, they ask you, how is the weather? And if someone asks you, how is the weather? You must know, they just got nothing to discuss with you at all. It's like, you know, boredom, totally dead. All right. But in Jagannath Puri, even casual conversation is equal to the Vedic hymns. Here's a super heavy one. And this is almost too heavy, actually. But it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat. I don't know if it's Lord Chaitanya speaking or just Vrindavan Das Thakur. He says, even when they eat fish, it's the same as eating Jagannath Prasadam. Don't you dare do that. No chance. You just don't do that. But that's what it says. You can read it yourself. So it's a very special place. And it occupies a very significant place in the universe. And Jagannath is the Lord of that place. So there's a sort of a sense there, because it's so central in the universe, in the world. I mean, universe meaning the world, in the greatest sense of the world. That therefore, it can be said that Jagannath, as the Lord of this world or the Lord of the universe, is appropriate, seeing he's the Lord of Puri. Anyway, think about that. Why do we pray to Lord Jagannath? I tell you what, you want a straight answer? Because we're not stupid. Yeah. Because it's just the right thing to do. You just got to do it. Why do we pray to Lord Jagannath? What should devotees desire from Lord Jagannath? Well, that's nice. Yeah. You know, Jagannath, we just described how Jagannath is Dwarika Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan, reminded, thinking of Vrindavan. And we mentioned earlier this morning how when after all these things we just mentioned happened in Kurukshetra, how they then put Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra in their normal human-like forms, just basically looking like humans, albeit very special humans. Then they were en route, they were being towed, pulled back to Vrindavan, and they manifested the forms again. So that's very significant. Dwarika Krishna, in the mood of going to Vrindavan, we should pray to Lord Jagannath, please take me to Vrindavan with you. Please, you've got entrance to Vrindavan. And how did he get entrance to Vrindavan? By the mercy of the devotees. How's that for an interesting thought? Even the Supreme Lord sometimes is dependent on the devotees. There are a number of instances where this is brought out in very beautiful, beautiful ways. And so this is one. How did he go? He wasn't going to go. He was going to go back to Dwarka. He was saying, well, you know, I'm just now coming, as we say in South Africa, now. And I talk to the people when I travel about this. In South Africa, if you say, I'm going to do something now, it means, I'm going to do it. Yeah, it'll get done. Just relax. If I say, I'm going to do it now, it means, I'm going to do it quite soon. Quite soon, actually. I mean, don't hold your breath, but it'll be quite soon. And if I say, I'm going to do it now, it means I'm going to do it now. I've picked up a little South African culture. Oh well. Okay. Yes. So we could pray to Lord Jagannath that just as you got access to Vrindavan, that otherwise inaccessible place, but as you got it by the mercy of the Brijavasis, the devotees, please speak to them. Put in a word on my behalf that please let me in too. Please, even if it's just a blade of grass, but anything. That's what I'd suggest. What you should desire from Lord Jagannath. But definitely we should pray to Lord Jagannath. You know, that's kind of like a deep prayer, but you can pray that please engage me in your service. Please help me to understand, or at least begin to penetrate the consciousness you entered into when you, that remembrance of Vrindavan was aroused. Please help me like that. Now, these are very interesting subjects. Why do Lord Baladev and Lady Subhadra always accompany Lord Jagannath? Which personality is Lady Subhadra? I'm not sure what you mean by that. She was the smaller one, you know, in the center, that's Subhadra. And she's their sister, born in Mathura from Vasudev and Devaki after Kamsa was killed. And Krishna had, and Balaram, they all moved back to Mathura. So she was born there, and then she married Arjuna. So why do they always accompany Lord Jagannath? You know, I don't want to be facetious any more than I have been. But this is just their nature, their brothers and sister. What do you expect? They're brothers and sister. They move together. You know, when every year there's a pastime in the temple at Puri. Every year that the time of the Rath Yatra is coming, And, you know, Rathiyatram Puri means, begins from just outside the front of the temple, goes down to another temple down, straight down the road called Gundicha, which is said to sort of represent Vrindavan. And there the idea is that Jagannath, Krishna and Balaram, they meet all the devotees of Vrindavan gather there, and Krishna and Balaram meet with the devotees of Vrindavan and have pastimes for a week before Krishna and Balaram return to the big temple. And Lakshmi, in the grounds of the Jagannath temple, there's a temple of Lakshmi, who is the wife of Jagannath. The wife of Jagannath. But she doesn't like it when her husband goes and meets with the devotees of Vrindavan through the Rath Yatra, because she knows his relationships with the gopis. And, you know, she's very sensitive about other women interacting with her husband. It happens sometimes, doesn't it? I have heard rumors of that. So she doesn't like it if other women interact with her husband in a sort of, you know, close way, friendly, emotional type of way. So what happens is, Jagannath goes and asks Lakshmi, "Do you mind if I go down to Gundicha?" And she just gives him a straight answer, "No." End of discussion. And he just, you know, that's it. So then he goes and explains to his brother Balaram, his older brother. So Balaram says, "Listen, I'm your older brother. I'm senior to your wife also. I'll ask her. She probably won't refuse me." So he goes. And he says, "You know what? Your husband wants to go to Gundicha. I will go with him on your behalf. And I will make sure, as the older brother, I will make sure he does no mischief. You can rely on me because I'm the older brother." And Lakshmi gave him one look and said, "You may be the older brother, but you're a man. You can't be trusted." Haribol. Oh well, so Balaram, unsuccessful. So he went back. And then the two of them met with Subhadra, the sister. And she said, "Listen, I'll go and speak to her because I'm a woman. She'll listen to me." So Subhadra went and spoke to Lakshmi. "Come on, you know. Let your husband go. Balaram really wants to. And listen, I'm a woman like you. I understand. They're men, they don't understand. What can you do with people like that? But don't worry. I will make sure nothing happens which you would not approve of." And Lakshmi said, "Oh, well, oh, all right then. But you better make sure. And I want him back the same night." "All right." And Subhadra said, "No problem. You can depend on me." And off they went on the Rath Yatra. How did I get into this? Oh, yeah. Why do Baladeva and Lady Subhadra always accompany Lord Jagannath? Because they're a team. They are a team. Brothers and sister, and they are just together. Yeah. Like you get many twins. I know a number of twins, like identical twins. We have one sent here from Mauritius. I don't know them so well. But some of the ones I know, you can't separate them. You can't separate them. They they're just, you know, they are sort of interwoven into each other's character. It's really interesting. All right, anyway, so off they went. We haven't really got time to go through the whole pastime, but off they went on the Ratha Yatra, and as they're going, Lakshmi said to Subhadra, "Back tonight, right? Right?" And Lakshmi said, "Right." Sort of like, "Right." Like, "We'll try our best." Unfortunately for Lakshmi, Krishna didn't come back that night, or the next night, or the night after. On the fifth day, she went down. And there's a description in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the ceremony they still do on the fifth day as part of the whole Ratha Yatra procedure, Maha Festival. Lakshmi and her associates and assistants, they go down to Gundicha and they attack. They physically attack and beat the assistants of Jagannath, and they even attack Jagannath. Yeah. And she tells Jagannath, "You come back tonight, all right." And he says, "Right." And doesn't come back. She goes back, and he doesn't. Finally comes back on, I think it's the seventh, it might be the eighth day. And she will not speak to him. And so they do this whole thing where he approaches Lakshmi and gives her presents and speaks to her very nicely and, you know, all this sort of thing. And she calls down, because who could resist Krishna? "Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, is the supreme controller. So do we actually have free will, or are we merely helpless in the course of our karmic journey?" Yes. Well, anyway, you know, that's a good question, which we do get asked from time to time, but it's a very good question, very relevant. You know, well, Prabhupada, Shastra, but particularly Prabhupada in very pointed ways, did make the point that we do have free will. He called it minute. We have a little free will, not too much. Like, here we are, we're all sitting here. You can right now stand up and walk out as that devotee did. Yes, if you want. That's doable. It's quite doable. But if you suddenly get an inspiration, "I want to go to the moon. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Even if you have a sudden inspiration, "I want to go back to Joburg." Well, you can go, but it'll take you. You know, it's too late to get a flight today. Either you get a bus, you'll get there tomorrow morning sometime, or you get a flight tomorrow morning. So you can go to Johannesburg, but you can't just go and then you're there. Our free will, you know, we have free will to do different things. But there are limitations, considerable limitations on that free will. But definitely we're not just acting like robots. AI is coming. Do you know what I mean by AI? Artificial intelligence will rule. If you don't watch out, it's a bluff. Anyway, yeah, we are not robotic. We're not mechanical. We have all these emotions. desires, thoughts, conceptions, and yes, and sometimes we choose to do something. In the middle of it, we change our mind. These things happen. Yeah. You know, someone is studying something at university, after a couple of few years, they change the course. A few years ago, they were thinking, right, here we go. It was like a real decision. They thought about it. But then things develop in certain ways, and then they choose another course. These things happen. People marry someone, and in some cases, unfortunately, they find that they didn't understand the person sufficiently, and the person was not as they expected, something along those lines. And it can even reach the point of becoming intolerable, literally intolerable, and they just have to get out, or otherwise they're going to break. So definitely there's free will is there to some degree, but you can't just do this or just do that just because the desire pops into your head. An example which is given, well, plus, we have these bodies. I have a male one. Some of you have female ones. And there are differences. Biological differences, obviously. And in many ways, there are psychological differences. And of course, everyone's an individual, but still they're sort of a male type of nature and a more female type of nature, you know. To some degree, that's part of reality. So if, for example, if you have a male body, you can't give birth to a child at this stage. You know, let medical science go on, you know, for however much longer, and, you know, I don't know, but maybe it'll happen. Who knows? But basically, certainly at this point, a man can't have a child because the system is just different. So if you have a male body, then you are restricted in certain respects. If you have a female body, well, there are restrictions also. So there's a good example. I feel it's a very good example. It's in the Bhagavatam, in one of the purports. It's not from Prabhupada, but from Prabhupada's disciples. The example given is, when you get on an aeroplane, you can do different things. On the airplane, you can eat, you can sleep, you can talk, you can walk up and down, visit the bathroom, you can do different things. But you can't just do anything. In the middle of the flight, you can't just decide, hey, I don't want to go to this place, I think I'd rather go somewhere else. Let me out. Open the door, jump out. You can't do it. Generally, you're restricted within that context of being on the aeroplane. But still, you can do all sorts of things, actually. You could hijack the aeroplane. Some people do. Yeah, I mean, you could. Some people actually do. Or you could meet someone who's in the same line of business as you and make a good business contact and make a lot of money. Or you could start a fight, you know, start insulting some people or something like that and get arrested. I mean, there are all sorts of things you can do. But you can't just do anything. You're limited within the context of being on the aeroplane. You get the idea. The aeroplane is representing the body. You've got this sort of body. Some have a big, strong one. Others have a little, weak one. And, you know, some have pretty ones, some have ugly ones. Depends, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, of course. And don't forget that the female rhinoceros thinks the male rhinoceros looks really cool. Just a groovy guy. I saw a bumper. Was it a bumper sticker? I think it was a bumper sticker in America some years ago. It said, "I am fat and you are ugly, but I can lose weight." Did you get that? Anyway, it was the bumper sticker's fault. I'm just repeating what was on the bumper sticker. I tell you, I saw it with my own eyes. So yeah, you can get fat, and when you get fat, you can get thin again. But if your body looks in a certain way, well, you know, you tend to be restricted. So the question was, do we actually have free will, or are we merely helpless in the course of our karma journey? Well, karma is another factor. You know, there are all these, there are different factors. It's a complex picture. But we have these particular bodies because of our karma. Yeah. Because of our karma and the state of consciousness we were in at the end of the previous life. But, you know, your karma means the consequences of your actions. And your actions basically are based on your consciousness, your desires, what your personality, what you're looking for in life. Your actions tend to flow from that. So your karma and your desires, your state of mind, they're very, very closely interlinked. But even though we've got this body, you know, I have a white body from New Zealand. I am the only New Zealander here, I think. Yeah. Male. Someone else is a white South African, some African South African. We have one Russian, as we mentioned, some Indian South Africans. Special breed, I must say. I shouldn't have said that, shouldn't I? But you get to know Indian people. If you go to India and spend a time there, you'll see how true that is. So, but free will is definitely there. Why wasn't Subhadra with Krishna's wives when they began speaking of him? Because she's not one of his wives. She's Arjuna's wife. And she was Arjuna's wife at that point. So, you know, it's like a different group. Let's see. Okay, let's try and zip through these questions here. There was a man called Satchasai Baba who claimed to be an avatar of the Lord. He encouraged the Mahamantra, yet he also said the devotees wouldn't be wrong. Oh, I see. Even if they said Hare Sai, Hare Sai, Sai Sai, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So, what do you, me, what do I advise? Hare Krishna. Well, I'll tell you one thing, which you may not be aware of, I suspect. Some of you at least, maybe all of you, may not be aware of. But one of our devotees, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, met Sai Baba in person, face to face, in Bombay in those days, at a wedding. It was a wedding of some really like billionaire family who were supporters of the Hare Krishna movement and of Sai Baba, to the point that he came personally to the wedding. And Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, he spoke with Giriraj Maharaj for a little while. And as he was speaking, he expressed great appreciation for Srila Prabhupada and the Hare Krishna movement. Great appreciation. Yeah. And, you know, a few of this type of person, like this, the Art of Living one, what's his name? Anyway, whatever his name is, expressed great appreciation for Prabhupada and the Hare Krishna movement. And a few others of these groups, you know, these prominent people from India, and Satya Sai Baba also, extremely appreciative. Doesn't mean that when he said, if he said, you can chant Hare Sai, etc., that that's okay. It's not okay. I'm sorry. It's not okay. It's really not. Yeah. But he appreciated Prabhupada, he appreciated the Hare Krishna movement, he appreciated the chanting of Hare Krishna. It all helps. It all helps. But anyway, what do we advise? We advise you to follow authority, the ancient authority of Shastra, the Vedic scriptures, which say, they give the Hare Krishna mantra. This is Kali Santarana Upanishad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti so dashakam nam nam, Kali kalmasha nashanam, Nata parataro peta, Sarva vedeshu drishyate. Iti so dashakam, so dash. In Sanskrit means 16. So dash. 6 and 10. These 16 names can Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. Kali, of course, is this age we're in, Kali Yuga. Kalmasha means the faults, the, you know, all the bad stuff, the mess of Kali Yuga. All that mess, Nashanam. Nash means to destroy. Yeah. These 16 names. And Sarva Vedeshu, all the Vedas, Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate, all the Vedas say this, support this. You can see this in all the Vedas. So, chant Hare Krishna. Don't worry about the Hare Sai bit. You just chant Hare Krishna. You can't go wrong. Since Krishna said, I'm the mother and father, I feel more comfortable calling him Divine Mother. We've got an interesting person. This is the same person. Okay. Anyway, it's all right. It's okay. It's okay. I feel more comfortable calling him Divine Mother, so would I be wrong if I worship the aspect of Krishna, which is Durga, as Krishna? Well, you would definitely be wrong, because Durga is a jiva like us, who of course is empowered by the Lord and is controlling this universe, at least in many ways. But she is not like a female aspect of Krishna. If you really want to worship Krishna in a female sense, His female form is Mohini. This is actually Krishna, the person, in a female form, complete female, the supreme female, the supreme Lord as a female. But, now you feel more comfortable. What we feel comfortable in, just because we feel comfortable in some situation, does not at all necessarily mean it's the right situation. Now, how many times have you heard in some sort of self-improvement type of seminar or that type of context, you've got to get out of your comfort zone? How many times have you heard that? Many times, I'm sure. Because comfort zone basically means apathy. Yeah, apathy. Bored, dull. So just because at this stage of your life or your development, something may seem comfortable, doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. And we should actually go for what is right. Yes. So, the worship of even Mohini, what does Durga, don't worry about that. But Mohini, who is Krishna in a female form, that worship, I mean, as a sort of like serious full-time program, is not recommended by the authorities. In fact, hopefully you're all aware, what is recommended for this day and age is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and then engaging in the process of devotional service as given, as taught by Lord Chaitanya. That's what actually is the right thing to do, the best thing to do. Now, devotees, how are you? Apki tabiat kaisi hai? Saukhya ma? Who harmed it? How are you doing? Because we're actually over time. And we've still got, what, another 6 or 7 even questions to... I mean, we can just leave them for tomorrow. Maybe it'd be better. Yeah, let's do that. Because I can see some of you are conking out or going into samadhi. Okay, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We hope you found it interesting. And tune in tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow. And you'll find out all sorts of interesting things, some of which you never heard of before. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. You're really asleep. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you. God bless you.
Very much. Thank you, Chaitanya Swami Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj, for the very interesting and enlightening discussion regarding your Jagannath question. Meet you again tomorrow.